Thank you, Esther. Take your Bibles, go with me to Daniel chapter 3 this morning. Would you go with me, please, to Daniel chapter 3 in the Word of God this morning. Daniel chapter 3, you follow along with me as I read this morning. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 10 through 18 in our Bibles. Daniel 3, verses 10 through 18. I'd like to preach on this topic this morning, the courage to stand. The courage to stand. Daniel chapter 3, verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It's a familiar passage. And I draw our attention to it today because it illustrates several truths that I want us to look together at. We must be willing to take a stand in this day, and many times in our contemporary day, in the world in which we live, in the world in which you're going to minister, the idea of taking a stand is criticized. The idea of somebody standing up for something, separating something, drawing the line in the sand, many times it's almost presented as that was needed maybe in another generation, in a past time, but in today we've become so enlightened we don't need that anymore. And so I want to take this familiar story and I want us to learn several lessons from it that apply to our lives today and apply to your ministry in the future. Because I believe without the courage to take a stand, we will never be as effective for the Lord as we need to be. In other words, without that courage, we can build into you some academics, hopefully. We can have some good fellowship and teaching and training time. But without something that's a little hard to teach, you're never going to really be all that God wants you to be. And the thing that needs to be taught, thing that needs to be grasped, it kind of falls under the category that some things are better caught than taught, if you understand what I'm saying. And you have to have built inside of you the courage to take a stand. We are standing where we are today. First of all, in America, in a free America, we are in this auditorium and ambassador because those who went before us took a stand. There were people that went before us that were willing to draw the line in the sand. And how foolish it is for us today to think that all the positions have been taken, all the stands have been taken, I'm exempt from that ministry. I'm exempt from that challenge. I know the story is very familiar, but I find with us this morning four specific lessons I want you to glean from this passage in Daniel chapter 3. The first lesson is simply this. They made a decision, verses 10 through 12. Notice verse 12 describing them. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The first thing they did was they made a decision. You see, in verse 11, this had to be a difficult decision because in verse 11 it says, "Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So this was not an easy decision to make. This was not a flippant decision to make. This had to be something that required some thought, had to be taken some care into this as you realize the responsibility and the outcome of what was going to take place if you didn't do what you were told to do. But they've made a difficult decision. You need to secondly notice with me in verse 12 of the entire group that was there that day, there was only three that refused to bow down. Secondly, it's a lonely decision. It's a lonely decision. There are going to be times when it seems like you're standing alone, and sometimes we overemphasize that point, and sometimes we try to say we're standing alone, and really there's many people. We could say 7,000 haven't bowed the knee. I understand that. But you notice in this exact situation, there was only three. It's going to seem like that sometimes. It's going to feel like that sometimes. But just because, don't ever forget this, just because the majority went a different direction doesn't make the majority right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. always used to say, you and God make a majority in any community. And I think we are so driven by polls today and so driven by opinion polls and what somebody says and how many likes somebody can get on something that we don't understand that many of the Old Testament heroes were people that stood all alone. No one was with them. Just those three. So we see it's a difficult decision. It was a lonely decision. But number three, obviously at this time, other folks made other decisions. But what I love about these men was they made a decision and they didn't go away from it. They made a decision. You'll make some decisions in your life. Hopefully you've made some decisions in your college career. You've made some decisions. There'll be some decisions to make in the ministry. And it'll seem many times like you're just like these three men, that no one is with you. It seems like everyone is against you. But never forget that we made the decision. Never forget this. We didn't make the decision for somebody else. We made it between us and the Lord. And we need to keep that in mind. I love the study of American history. The story of the founding fathers of this nation is just unbelievable. The 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, and you know this, America was not independent, it was just declaring our independence, but they were committing an act that was treason. And the penalty for treason in that time was death. Now, we're not talking about a long, drawn-out trial like we're accustomed to today. We're not talking about somebody for 20, 30 years on death row. We're talking about swinging from a rope the next day. They had put not just their lives on the line. They had put their fortunes on the line. They were not only willing to sacrifice everything so that we could have freedom. They were willing to pay for it with their own pocketbook. Sometimes in modern-day America, we have forgotten what those folks went through. I think it's a deliberate attempt to try to take away American history from us so that we forget what we have in this great nation. I think it's a deliberate attempt in many venues of our modern society to take away those great historical events. But those founding fathers had the courage to stand. Of those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, nine lost their lives during the war. And another almost 20 lost everything they had financially. One of my favorite ones is a man who was from Virginia, and he had a beautiful mansion. He was a man of means, a man of wealth. And General Cornwallis from the British side had taken over his house as his headquarters. When this man saw that the troops were not turning their fire on that house because it was his house, he said, "Give me the weapons, I'll fire the first shot. We'll take down the house and we'll take down Cornwallis at the same time." That man loaned to America $2 million that he never received back, and he died penniless. That's the kind of America that we were given. That's the kind of men that were the founding fathers. And to a man, they were men of means, of education, that could have easily gone a different route, could have easily gone an easier route. But we have America that we have today because of men like that, because men were willing to sacrifice. Do you see the first lesson with me is they made a decision in verses 10 to 12. The second lesson I want you to see this morning is they didn't change their decision. Verses 13 through 15. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? There's the easy way out. Could have just said, you know, we really misunderstood what we were told to do. We weren't listening carefully enough. We were supposed to do something else, and we made a mistake. You'll be given a lot of opportunities like that where there's an easy way out. But that's not what they did. Verse 15, Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? It's a good question, isn't it? It's an interesting question. It does kind of highlight how so many times in the ministry, and if we go down the folks that books have been written about in the ministry, missionaries and stuff, we can understand just how lonely sometimes it can be. And just how in that environment that we understand Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself and we understand how wrong he was, we can see how a Nebuchadnezzar could make a statement like that. And how fearful that would look to these three men. Do you see with me, first of all, about not changing their decision? First of all, they resisted peer pressure, but second of all, they resisted Nebuchadnezzar. They were willing to stand against what he said. Verses 14 and 15. It's going to be many times in our life, it's going to seem like the wrong side has all of the power. It's going to seem like the wrong group is in control. It's going to seem like the ministry is going a different direction. But the lesson this morning from these three men was they initially made the decision, but they didn't change their decision when the circumstances became impossible. How easy it is to make a decision in this environment, to make a decision at a revival meeting. I understand it. We believe in it. But the character of that is if we're willing to carry out that decision when it's difficult to stay with that decision. It's easy to say one thing when you're in this environment. It's going to be more difficult down the road when it seems like you're all alone. It's going to be more challenging down the road when others have gone a different direction, where you're being made fun of, when you're being mocked, and that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar is doing to them. He says, Who do you think you are? I am more powerful than your God. So many times in history, we've had people that in an important situation, a difficult situation, they stood for what was right. Interesting character from history is Winston Churchill. In 1940. And Winston Churchill, when he took power, everybody said, let's sign for peace. No one wanted to fight. He stood all alone. Because he stood, the world looks a lot differently today than it would have if he would have given in. So many great statements by Churchill, but I just have one this morning. This is from 1940. And he's not only standing alone for Britain, that's before the United States has even got into the war, but he said this, We shall go on to the end. We shall never surrender. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was our finest hour. There was some courage to stand. When others were willing to capitulate, to give in, he was willing to stand. It seems easy to stand for right doctrine now. There'll be times in the future it won't be easy. They'll be easy in a classroom to say, well, this is what I've taught, but you're going to have to stand for it somewhere down the road. And if you're sitting out there and thinking, well, I'm young and I don't have to stand, and other people have stood, and so many people that have stood in the past were kind of arrogant, kind of full of themselves. That's what the take is from so many people today. Don't ever forget, you're going to have to stand too. You're going to have to take a stand just like Churchill did in England in 1940. What's preserved England? Without him, there would have been no England. And we need someone today. We need some preacher boys all across America. We need some folks to go to the mission field. They'll say, listen, I know where the lines need to be drawn. And not only can I make a decision in a revival meeting, but I got enough character to not change it. When the circumstances change, when the situation seems impossible, when it seems like everyone is rising up against me. They made a decision. But the second lesson is just as important. They didn't change their decision. We live in a day of change, folks. We live in a day where people who were taught right decide down the road it's all right to go a different direction. They break their parents' heart. They break the heart of that church that trained them. And they break the heart of those that sacrificed to have a college like this today. It's easy to make a decision today. That's part of the idea. That's part of how it's supposed to work. But let me just never forget that not only do we have to make a decision, we have to have enough character and enough fortitude to carry it out there in the real ministry, in the real world. We need to have somebody to say, this is right and this is wrong. And we need to have enough character to draw the line. There was a guy starting a church up in the Midwest. He had just gotten started. And he called me up and said, I got a question for you. I need some help on something. I said, okay. He said, we just got started. He said, to be real honest, he said, we really only have one family coming besides our family. And he said, this family asked us on Saturday, this Saturday coming up, if we would take our kids and go with their kids to do something. Now, he said, keep in mind, they're the only family that comes on a regular basis. They're the only friends our kids have. And he says, what they want to do, he said, I guess it's not a big thing, he said, but what they want to do is something we've never had our kids do. We've never allowed our kids to do. He said, what should I do? He said, I mean, I don't want to make the only family I've got coming mad. And I said, brother, I don't know what you should do, but I'll tell you this right now. If you'll change now to keep one family, it will never end. Of your changing. He said, that's what I thought I should do. He called me up a couple weeks later. Guess what? He said, that family left the church. He said, now we don't have anybody coming except our own family. But let's roll it down the stream about 5 to 10 years to today. On Sunday, they probably had 50 or 60 there. Sunday night, they got a smaller crowd, you understand? But I mean, they're just getting started. Sometimes it seems like it's a hard decision. The problem is we're just in the moment. We can't see down the road. We can't see how it's going to affect us, how it's going to affect our church, how it's going to affect our own family. We need to have some courage to stand. The first lesson is, if you notice, they made a decision. Secondly, they didn't change their decision. The third lesson, verses 16 and 17, they trusted God in their decision. Notice, if you would, the last part of verse 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That word careful there is a great old English word, King James word. We can never surrender that word. What does careful mean right there? It means full of cares. That is a beautiful English word. I understand the meaning has changed, but there is nothing wrong with that word. That is a beautiful word, and it defines itself. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Number three, I want you to see the third lesson is they trusted God in their decision. Number one, they trusted an unseen God over Nebuchadnezzar. Number two, they didn't hesitate. They didn't change. They didn't equivocate. They didn't say, let's think about it. They didn't think, let's put it on Facebook to know exactly what others think we should do. Do you see what they said in the last part of verse 16? We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, the decision has already been made. And many times in life, we would be a lot better off in our Christian life if we would stick to decisions we had already made. Now, the problem is this. Decisions that we've made don't change, but the circumstances, the environment, the situation, those are going to change. They're going to get a little more difficult in life. If you're really going to serve the Lord, if you're really going to live for the Lord, those decisions will become more difficult to make. They'll be harder to make. So many times today, people in this generation want to criticize those of another generation, a man who writes today on history, is a good writer on history, describing some of the old-time saints in the 40 and 50. He said they were bellicose in their preaching. It's a big word. I had to look up what it meant. But anyway, it meant overly aggressive. In other words, I guess he didn't like that some of the people in the past took a stand, and of course, he's benefiting from the fact that they took that stand, you understand? But it's like, I don't want to take a stand like that. I don't want to be bellicose. I don't want to appear to be overly aggressive. I don't want to appear to, like, say, this is right and this is wrong. But you see the third thing in verse 17? They trusted in the power of God. They trusted in the power of God. Theodore Roosevelt had some great quotes, and this is just like, it's not really a quote, it's almost like a paragraph, but maybe you've seen it before, but it's very powerful. He said this, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory nor defeat." It's a great statement by Roosevelt, isn't it? Another American hero that we have. That's Theodore. Just make sure we don't mix our Roosevelts up this morning. But do you see, thirdly, they trusted God in their decision. It's an important lesson. We make a decision when we don't see what the ramifications are going to be. We decide to serve the Lord. We decide to go to the mission field. We decide, young men, to preach. We decide to follow the Lord. It's a great decision. We just don't understand how difficult it's going to be. We don't see what a challenge it's going to be. And many times when you're younger, you think that all of this talk about people who fell by the wayside is a little bit overblown. It's not overblown. You'll find that out down the road. It's a real thing. You'll sit next to folks in the classroom that 10 years down the road, you'll be shocked at what they do. You'll have a broken heart over those who one time sat in the same place where you sat, who now no longer preach the same gospel. But in the midst of this difficult situation, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood. But there's one lesson we can't forget from this great story. All they're saying in verse 17, if you look at it carefully, and I know you know the verse well, it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is," there's the word, "able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Let's not think for a second, as we sit here this morning, that God is always going to deliver. Because down through the ages, folks have lost. Down through the ages, folks have given their lives for the gospel. Let's never forget. They are not saying God is guaranteeing a victory. They're saying God is able to give the victory. There's an important distinction there. And we are not making the decision based on how the outcome is going to be. We're making the decision based on what is right or what is wrong. What is truth and what is error. what stands the test of time, and what is going to be driven away. You may take a stand today, and the contemporary crowd and the crowd on Facebook, the crowd on the social media is going to applaud you, but it's going to be a wrong decision because you're looking for your applause from the wrong spot. He said, our God is able to deliver us. But there's a fourth lesson we can't neglect this morning. They trusted God regardless of the outcome. They trusted God regardless of the outcome. Notice with me verse 18. It says this, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. God is able, verse 17, but they say if God does not deliver, verse 18, our decision stays the same. Easy to say, hard to do where they're standing right in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Easy to say in a chapel service, hard to do when they are thinking and believing that death is the next step for them. What a great lesson that is for us. Notice with me, first of all, in verse 18, but if not, but notice, second of all, they kept their eyes on the issue. The issue was, we will not, verse 18, we will not serve thy gods. The issue is not their life or death. That's not the issue. The issue is, we will not serve your false gods. Regardless of the price. Regardless of the cost. Regardless of what we have to go through. I love reading history. I love of folks who sacrificed so much and were willing to give up so much. We're willing to give up pensions many times, salaries, willing to go without. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Let's never forget this. We don't stand to be victorious, but rather we are victorious because we stood. The issue in Daniel chapter 3 is not that God eventually delivered him. That's not the issue. The issue is the false gods. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood the issue. How the outcome came out was of no consequence to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It seems like we maybe are not going to be faced with a situation like that. And we won't be maybe facing the exact same thing they did in Daniel chapter 3, but it's a good lesson for us because everybody here, if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be faced with decisions that you have to make. The thing you don't realize is the decision you make next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now is not just for that moment. It could affect the entire direction of your life, the entire direction of your ministry. Sunday morning when we went to church, our Sunday dinner was always the same at my home. Still my favorite dinner. Roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn and hot rolls. We lived about 2 blocks from church, First Baptist Church of Lake Crystal, Minnesota. My mom and dad, I realize now, operated on a strict time schedule. I kind of like that. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I do appreciate it now. And I still remember this one Sunday. It was the Sunday, November 1972. Yes, I am that old. But November 1972, the Sunday before the presidential election. Our church was going through a difficult time there. And we always had lunch. Sunday school was at 9:45. Morning service was at 11. We were home and eating at 12:30, just like clockwork. Except this one Sunday. My dad was a deacon, and they had a deacon's meeting at church. Church was without a pastor. My dad came home. We were just a little bit late. We were off our schedule. We don't usually like to get off our schedule. Came in. My dad came in 15, 20 minutes late, sat down. We had prayer, and so I am enjoying the roast beef, and my dad says, that's it. We're leaving the church. I said, what? Only church I'd ever known. Church I was saved in. Church I was baptized in. Said, that's it, we're leaving. I said, really? It almost made me break my stride on eating the roast beef. Not totally, you understand that. Got to keep some focus on these in these matters, you know. And I said, really? He went on to explain it. I didn't totally understand everything in 1972. My dad and I, he just passed away a year ago. My dad and I, we went over the ramifications of that decision many times. But in 1972, what my dad did, as a layman, he chose fundamentalism over new evangelicalism. It seemed like a small little thing at the time. But can I tell you something? And I mean it. I'm standing here today because my dad made that decision. Now there's a lot of other decisions, but I can guarantee you I would never be here today except for that decision made 46 years ago by somebody that just said, this is right and this is wrong. That's it. It's settled. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And you know what, folks? You're going to make decisions just like that. It's not going to seem like it. It's not going to be laid out just like that where you can see it, but you're going to make a decision one day that's going to set the direction of your own children, of your grandchildren, what direction they go. You say, oh, I don't think. Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely. Because the spiritual decisions that you and I make affect not only us, affect our church. It'll affect all those that come after us. I love that what Churchill said. So that people that come after us will say, this was our finest hour. So you can decry taking a stand today. You can make fun of it. You can laugh at the old timers. But never forget you're sitting in a free America because a bunch of folks took a stand. And we're sitting in a fundamentalism in America because some people down the years understood certain things are absolutely essential. And we have got to stand on principle. And stand on truth. Everything else you get here, folks, I hope you get the courage to stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. It's a familiar story, Lord. It's one I never get tired of, though, Lord. Father, take this story and these principles and use it in each one of our lives this morning. May these young folks that sit here planning for their future, looking ahead, may they grasp just a little bit of what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through and take, Lord, and use it in their lives that they would stand for you, stand for truth, stand for what's right. Lord, in each one of our lives, give us this morning the courage to stand. In Jesus' name.